Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning, church. Welcome to worship. I'm Pastor Lindsay, one of the clergy that serves here at First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake. I'm glad that you're worshiping with us online today. Maybe you've been worshiping with us for a long time, or maybe a friend invited you to come to worship by sharing this worship service, or maybe you just did a Google search and you found us online. However you found us, we're glad that you're here, and we would love to know that you are here by checking in with us online. So you can do that by going to our church website at www.brightonfumc.org, and there you're going to find the connection card. We'd love to know that you are in church. The connection card not only lets us know you are here, of course, but it's an also opportunity for you to get better connected to the life of our church. You can check out several different opportunities there, maybe a small group or children, student ministry, missions, other opportunities to engage. So we'd encourage you to do that. Today in worship, we're continuing our 3 a.m. series as we explore what are those things that wake you up at night and keep you up. So far, we've talked about worry and injustice. Today, we're going to be talking about guilt and those things that keep us up in the middle of the night, those things that we maybe feel a little bit guilty about. I'm glad to be joining Pastor John in worship as he brings the message to us this morning. It's also great to be worshiping with Susan and Mike and Eric as they lead us in songs of praise. And now, as we turn our hearts to a time of praise, I would invite us to center ourselves as we turn to the Psalms. Psalm 66, verses 1 and 2, as well as verse 5 reads, "Make a joyful noise to God, all of the earth. Sing the glory of God's name. Give to God glorious praise. Come and see what God has done. God is awesome, and God's awesome deeds among us." Knowing that God has done wonderful things among us, let's do turn our hearts to a time of praise. Let's worship God this day.
Good morning. I'm Susan Urban. Please join me in the opening prayer. Dear Lord of all, thank you for the tears you give us to release us from our bitter pain when we have disappointed you, ourselves, and others. Guide us through our guilt to learn and grow. Help us to let go of the past and lift us out of shame so that we can move forward in the light of hope we find in you. In your name we pray. Amen. The scripture for this morning is from Matthew chapter 26. Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. A servant girl came to him and said, "You were with Jesus the Galilean." But he denied it before all of them, saying, "I do not know what you are talking about." When he went out to the porch, another servant girl saw him, and she said to the bystanders, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." Again he denied it with an oath, "I do not know the man." After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Certainly you are also one of them, for your accent betrays you." Then he began to curse, and he swore an oath, "I do not know the man." At that moment, the cock crowed. Then Peter remembered what Jesus had said to him, "Before the cock crows, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Will you join me now in a time of prayer? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, and the one who calls us to be set free. Amen. Well, we've been doing this sermon series over the last couple of weeks, talking about what keeps you up in the middle of the night. This week, we're going to be focusing on another thing that keeps us up in the middle of the night, guilt. You can imagine yourself laying in a bed, I imagine, at some point in your life, rolling over, playing thoughts through your mind, reflecting on either a previous day, week, or month where you did something that you wish you hadn't, or maybe you didn't do something that you wish you had. One way or another, the emotion is pretty similar. You're experiencing some sort of guilt and it's unresolved, and you continue to work in your mind over and over and over again the situation, trying to resolve it. I can imagine most of us have spent time laying on our back, eyes open wide, reminiscing and replaying a certain event in our life over and over and over again, wishing that we could change it, wishing that somehow we could make it right or make it better. At the end of the day, we probably all spend too much time looking backwards instead of forwards. We spend a lot of time rehearsing in our mind situations that we wished would have turned out better or we would have acted differently. Mark Twain had this quote that he said, in the future, we'll probably look back at the two things that we didn't do and spend far more time on those things than all of the rest of the things that we did do in the course of our life. And I'm guessing that's probably true for Peter, who we read about in the scripture today. I'm guessing for the rest of his life, he wished that he could have had the courage, had the faith to stand up in those couple of moments, those three moments when people were asking whether or not he had a relationship, if he knew Jesus Christ, that in that moment he would have had the courage to say, yes, I do, to be marked with Jesus's crew, to acknowledge that he had a relationship, to own that he was a part of the Jesus movement. But instead, you know the story, you've heard it this morning, he said, no, no, no. Three times, Peter denied ever having known Jesus. And then you hear the rooster call. I imagine in that moment, Peter knew he was caught. Despite the fact that at the Last Supper, he looked Jesus in the eye, I presume, after Jesus had said, Peter, you're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows. No, Lord, I would never deny you. Jesus could see right through him. And I imagine that moment that Peter heard the rooster, he immediately realized that Jesus was right. If you've ever had one of those moments where you realize you've been caught up in something, or you failed, or you've let somebody down, it's sort of like a shockwave goes through your whole body. Sometimes I can remember in my life feeling like my entire body was warmed up, and it was almost like I was sitting under a microscope and people were seeing right through me. Moments when I've failed and I feel guilty about. In those moments, you almost have a flashback in my experience, and you put yourself right back at the Last Supper table, and that memory becomes vivid as you remember it anew and afresh. All the sights, smells, and sounds of that room come alive to you again. I imagine in an instant, Peter was taken back to the Last Supper as his eyes were opened wide and he realized he had let the Master down one final time. At the end of the day, his denying his relationship with Jesus may have saved his life. But in his heart, he knew that he wanted to be ranked with Jesus, that he wanted to give his life to the ministry that Jesus had called him to. He knew that Jesus was to build the church on Peter's back. And I'm guessing Peter had a pretty sleepless night that night, knowing that Jesus had seen right through him, that he had predicted exactly what Peter would do. Those are tough moments for everybody, and we've all had them. So today I want to spend a couple of moments just talking about how we handle the guilt that we experience in our own life. Perhaps some of you are experiencing it right now. But really the first and most important step to working our way through grief so that we can have more productive sleepless nights and healthier lives and psychologies is simply to name it. I feel guilty. I feel bad about something that happened in my life at a particular time, and to simply name it out loud. Some people prefer to go to a journal and write it out. I haven't been nice to my spouse. I haven't been a good colleague to somebody at work. I've been gossiping when the story really should have ended with me. I've struggled to be kind to my neighbor. Sometimes naming those things out loud takes all of the power out of them. Sometimes being able to admit it to ourselves is the first step on a long road to recovery. But when we find ourselves in a situation when we know we're guilty and we feel that remorse and that regret, the first and most important thing is to simply take ownership of the action, to name it out loud. The second piece of looking at guilt is examining the source. Why do we feel guilty about that? What led up to the moment where we decided to make the choice that we did? Asking ourselves what kinds of mental states we might have been in, or what led up to that moment. After we're able to do that, after we examine the source, sometimes we realize that there's a need for us to apologize, to take ownership of the decisions that we've made. A while back, I was leaving my home to go help somebody who was being kicked out of theirs. And I hopped in the car and I was taking my son with me, who was probably 2 or 3 years old at the time. And we drove out of our driveway and were getting ready to cross the street. And unfortunately, as I stopped at the stop sign, I looked right and I looked left and I didn't see any cars, and I pulled out. And because of that tiny metal bar right there between the windshield and the passenger side window, I completely missed a car that was coming from the right-hand side. The next thing I know, my vehicle smashed into theirs, and we both went off the road. Fortunately, everybody was okay. But you can imagine that the driver who I pulled out in front of was not too pleased with my driving that day. They got out of the car, thankfully, and were screaming at me for nearly 20 minutes, words that I probably don't need to repeat to you today. And in that moment, I knew immediately I was guilty. I was in the wrong. I was the one that made the mistake. I was the one that looked to my right and to my left and didn't see the car coming. And I immediately said, "I'm so sorry. Are you okay? I didn't mean to. I didn't see you. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry." It's amazing how simply taking ownership instead of deflecting blame or projecting it onto somebody else de-escalates so much tension in the world. It's not easy to take responsibility and to own the things that we've done wrong in our life, but it's important. An authentic apology means recognizing one's role in a wrongdoing, taking responsibility for it, acknowledging with remorse the impact that it had on other people. We've all seen horrible examples of apologies. All you have to do is go on YouTube and watch examples. You can see them all over the place of people apologizing for things that they said and did without any ounce of remorse. You know they're just going to do it again. But in the Christian tradition, we have many ways, many spiritual practices, many disciplines about confession of sin, about admitting our own wrongdoing. We don't have a problem as people of faith knowing and owning our own brokenness. It's part of the Christian journey, admitting that we're at fault, that we're not perfect creatures, that we too are in need of divine grace. It's the first step that we can take to receiving that divine grace. Another thing that you can do with guilt is learn from it. Some of us are really good at beating ourselves up. We hold on to the things that we did years after they transpired. And while that guilt continues to fester, one of the things that doesn't happen when we keep beating ourselves up over something that we did, said, or wish we would have done, is that we don't have an opportunity to learn from it. And that's one of the most powerful things that we can do with our guilt. It can motivate us into being different people the next day and the next week. I think that's one of the amazing things about the Apostle Peter. You know, in the beginning of the story, he denies Jesus three times, but that's not the end of Peter's ministry. He goes on in the experience at Pentecost to interpret the pillars of fire and the speaking of tongues. And Peter goes on to have a fantastic career sharing the faith of Jesus Christ with people for millennia, for years to come. And for millennia, we've continued to benefit from the church being built on Peter's back, the rock. I would say Peter learned from his mistake, and that sleepless night that he undoubtedly had after denying Jesus three times was transformed into something incredible. At the end of the day, I actually think Peter denying Jesus those three times laid the foundation for an incredible ministry over the course of his life. Because we all know what it feels to be guilty, because we all know what it feels like to sin and fall short of God's expectation for us, in many ways, when you've experienced divine grace yourself, when you've experienced that grace and forgiveness yourself, you get so much better at extending that divine grace to other people. When I realize that I need to be forgiven, it helps me become better and better at forgiving other people. And this might be the most important thing about guilt, is realizing that we can ask for forgiveness and allow ourselves to experience forgiveness ourselves. We don't have to keep beating ourselves up about the past. We as people of faith believe wholeheartedly in divine grace. We believe in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. We have a path to new life. Our lives don't have to end where they begin. The addictions that some of us struggle with don't have to define our entire life. There is hope in recovery. We don't have to be defined by the worst choices that we make during the course of our life. There is new life in Jesus Christ, hope for all of us. And I think that's the ticket to sleeping better at night, for allowing us to name our guilt, acknowledging the ways in which we've harmed other people or failed to stand up or say something when we should have, failed to help somebody who is in need. If we're able to do that, then maybe we can authentically apologize, take ownership of our behavior. And if that's possible, maybe we can learn from it. If we ask God for forgiveness, perhaps we can accept it for ourselves and allow ourselves to be used as instruments of divine grace for other people. That's where it starts. Grace is the living water. It's the currency that spins the world around. I need it. And I'm guessing you do too. Peter needed it. All of the disciples in the course of their ministry needed it. Every biblical character besides Jesus needed it. So let's accept it. Let's accept God's grace for us. And it can begin with a word of prayer, asking God's grace to cover us for the things that we've done in the course of our lives and for the things that we wish we had done that we chose not to do. I invite you to join me in this prayer of confession, where we'll ask for God's grace and we'll ask for forgiveness. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we know that we have not lived up to your expectations for us, that we're not perfect, that we're not completely put together, that we don't have all the answers, that we at times have failed to act when we knew you were calling us to do something different. God, we ask your forgiveness. We ask for your grace. We ask for your mercy. We ask for your Holy Spirit's power to allow us to be forgiven and for us to forgive ourselves. We ask for the strength and courage to be able to ask forgiveness of other people. For we know there's not a single one of us who has lived a perfect life. And we know, God, ultimately, it is for that reason that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to give us a living example of what it means to live in covenant with you. And so for his life, his death, and his resurrection, we give thanks for a story that sets us on a path of healing and hope, a story that reminds us of what your expectations are for our lives. Bring us closer together and bring us closer to you. We ask for this grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so, church, one of the great joys of being a minister is I get to remind you of exactly what I just shared in this sermon. And that's this: in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God in the highest, and thanks be to God. Amen.
Good morning, church. God is good. All the time. Amen. Once again, I feel honored and blessed that you've allowed me to come into your home this morning to share a worship time. I look forward to the time that we can meet each other in person, but for now, I'm honored to do this. Please now, would you join me in an attitude of prayer? Glorious God, you know us at our best. You know us at our worst, but you still love us. With all our faults and failures, you still are there for us. You are there with us in our times of success, and you pick us up when we fail. When we feel alone, we know we can turn to you, and you are there. Reveal your goodness to all who need your strength and love today. Teach us how we can best support and encourage them. To encourage those that are struggling and wrestling, looking for help. Those that are struggling at home, struggling with damaged and broken relationships. Those that are struggling with health issues. Those that are suffering with depression and loneliness. Those that have lost loved ones. Those that are struggling with financial burdens. To understand that in their time of need, your love is always there for them. To help them understand that you give your blessings to those in need of your strength, your love, and your hope. Unite your church so that we may be an example of harmony and justice in a world torn by conflict. Reveal your will to all people. Fill us with the courage to live out your righteousness as a sign of your goodness. Encourage and assist all who suffer the ravages of COVID-19. We know that you are here with us during this historic but horrific time. Relieve the needs of those who endure social distancing and self-quarantine, as well as those quarantined due to illness. During these times, it's important for us to remember that you are ever with us and will always be. When times look the darkest, you are our light. When we feel that there is no hope, you are our hope. When we feel alone and deserted, you are waiting there for us. When we feel down and broken, you are there to lift us up and restore our pieces. In times of need and doubt, the disciples went to Jesus for comfort and for strength. May we learn from the disciples that Jesus is our source of comfort and strength as well. O God, in this time of worship, we give thanks that you are ever with us, never leaving us alone. We thank you for your presence in our midst. We strive to be always grateful for all you give us, even though sometimes we think we can handle it all on our own. Sometimes we take your goodness for granted. Now we come to you as your children, seeking to learn, seeking to love, seeking to share in the name of your holy and precious Son, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Have a blessed day. Enjoy the rest of the service. God be with you. God loves you all the time.
We come to a time of offering. It's a great opportunity for us to share our generosity with God, to share our generosity with the world. When we're worshiping in person in the church sanctuaries, we pass an offering plate. And as the offering plate passes down by the rows, down through the pews, we have an opportunity to put some dollar bills or change into the offering plate. And we also have an opportunity to put our offering in an envelope and turn it into the church in that way. And sometimes when we're putting coins or dollar bills into the offering plate, we might wonder, does it really make a difference? Do the few dollars that I'm offering on a Sunday morning, does that really make a difference? Or my check that I share with the church and place in an envelope, how is that really impacting the world around us? I'll tell you, children are benefiting from the giving. Children learning through online Sunday school, that makes a difference. Youth gathering online for Zoom youth group, that makes a difference in the life of the youth. When we gather for worship here online, when we're able to hear songs of praise from Eric and Mike and Susan, I hope that's making a difference in your life. When we're calling and checking on our church members, seeing how people are doing in the hospital, looking in on persons who are homebound, I think that makes a difference. However you give, whether it's mailing in your envelope or whether it's going to our church website and giving online at www.brightonfumc.org, however you give, no matter what the amount is that you give, know it makes a difference. Every gift counts. Every gift is given with great generosity to God, that we might continue the mission and the ministry of Jesus Christ. So I'd invite you to give this day, knowing that your offering makes a difference. Will you please pray with me, church? O God of wisdom, may this offering serve as a powerful witness to the world in need. Guide us as we administer the gifts that you have given us for the building of your kingdom. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Friends, thank you so much for joining us for worship this week. We hope that this service was a blessing to you as you watch with us online. I wanted to make you aware of a couple of announcements before we conclude our time together, the first of which comes from our trustees. A couple of days before Christmas Eve, unfortunately, we had a radiator pipe burst at the Whitmore Lake campus. Unfortunately, the water that seeped out of that pipe left about 250 square feet of the sanctuary floor saturated with water. Fortunately, our trustees acted quickly, and we have a wonderful insurance policy here at the church, and we were able to get water remediation crew in there, and they were able to dry out the space. Now work on restoration has begun. We've ordered the supplies and equipment, and we should be able to have the sanctuary repaired within the next couple of weeks. Wanted to share this information with you in case you do go by our Whitmore Lake campus site and happen to go inside the building. You would see all of the chairs shuffled over to one side and floor ripped up on the other side. And we just wanted to let you know that we're, of course, aware of the situation. We can't wait for that building to be restored and to have everything put back into place for worship. Also wanted to share with you that there are many small groups that have started up either last week or starting this week. Want to encourage you to check those out on our website. We would love to have you sign up for one of our small groups. There are groups for men, women, moms, hikers, all kinds of different groups that exist here in the church, and we would love to have you become a part of one of those groups and grow in your faith. Also wanted to share with you some good news. This last year, we finished the year strong. Fortunately, we were able to meet all of our financial obligations. We were able to cover all of the costs of operating the church, and we were able to pay our apportionments in full. There's a wonderful story about Gene and Deb Smith. The day the apportionments were due, they drove all the way up to Lansing and hand-delivered the check to our conference treasurer. We're grateful for your financial support here at the church, and we're grateful for all the ways in which our church is able to extend good news of Jesus Christ to our community and the world. Thank you for your faithfulness, and we are excited about the wonderful things God has called us to in the future. We hope that as we conclude this worship service together, that we would all go our own ways with the blessing of Jesus Christ. May we experience it. May we share it. May we experience the grace that Jesus Christ alone offers. May we go with the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us go, loving and serving the Lord. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.